Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
All right. Hello and welcome to the Must Hear Music Podcast. My name is Joe Lynch and I'm here with Jason Lipschutz.
What's up, man?
And Tatiana Sirisano.
Hey, guys.
Hey. This is an exciting podcast. This is we have a new Madonna album.
Happy Madonna Day, everybody.
Every day is there a new Madonna album. Madonna, my absolute favorite.
Yeah.
And we got a new album, Madame
how
X.
How rebellious is your heart right now?
I would say it was more rebellious in 2015. Yeah. Wait, when did Rebel Heart come out? Now I'm feeling a little X-rated, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. Some Madame X-rated.
Madame X-rated. Before we start, though, into Madonna. So I went to the Songwriters Hall of Fame last night.
Oh, you went? I didn't know.
Very
That's
fun.
Cool.
I got to see Justin Timberlake. He was getting an honor there. He did Sexy Back, you know, as he does at concerts, but Timbaland was there. Oh. So he came up and, you know, helped Justin get to the chorus, get to the bridge. And to have him up there just being like, take it to the bridge was like a thrill of my life, really.
Did you write about it?
I did not, no.
Oh, okay. I was going to plug whatever you wrote about it, but nothing to plug at all.
Nothing to plug.
Cool.
Ignore me. But yeah, so it was cool. It was good times. And you watched a basketball game, right?
Yeah, I sure did. One that the Sixers should have been playing in the NBA Finals next year.
And I did neither of those things.
Yeah.
What did you do?
Not a lot.
All right. Nice.
Yeah. That's all I got.
That sounds really interesting.
I potted a plant. I got a new plant.
That's true.
So I had a very wholesome evening.
Yeah.
It's good times.
Well, let's go from plant potting to music potting.
Whoa.
As in podcasting.
Can I tell a very quick plant story before we get to
Madonna? Of course.
This sounds thrilling already. Yeah.
Last weekend, my mother-in-law and father-in-law came over, and my wife and my in-laws went to the flower store, and we spent like an hour and a half there because my wife is very into buying plants and flowers. And
I have one of her plants at my desk.
That is very true.
I do.
And I spent an hour and a half last Sunday just kind of staring into space because I don't really have any like opinions. I couldn't be like, we should buy this or I don't like this. So I just was like, I didn't even really want to check
my minerals phone. Guy.
Yeah. So that's my plant story. That's what I did last weekend.
Nice. my quick plant story that reminds me, Tati was laughing as she saw me looking up. I couldn't remember the name of the guy who did it. There's this awesome.
It's like, where is this leading?
Ambient soundtrack from the 70s. Called Plantasia, and it's by this guy, Mort Garson, and it's ambient music that you were supposed to, back then,
it's amazing.
You put the vinyl on, play it for your plant, and it would like help it grow, but it's like actually really like kind of fun to listen to.
They're doing like, or it already happened at like the Brooklyn Museum or something, some botanical garden in New York, they were doing like a listening, like with all the plants recently.
Yes. I'm a big botanical garden fan. The one in the Bronx is world class, really. It's just fantastic. Anyways, well, we've really dithered a lot. All right, let's talk Madonna. So we've got
Madonna.
New Madonna album, Madame X. I guess the two I wanted to kind of focus on are God Control and Dark Ballet. And I think I'm going to start with Dark Ballet. So Dark Ballet, she is maybe the first kind of thing we heard from this album. She played it kind of starts out with a pretty standard-ish kind of like dark pop balladry. And she played a little bit of that at the Met Gala last year. And I think that would have been before we had heard anything else from this album. But the one she played at the Met Gala, I wasn't there, but from what I gathered from social media, was just kind of like the ballad version of it. Here, she's like, is this totally like just like wacky, bizarre, like reinvention? So it starts out with this, you know, a ballad, and then we hear a synth version of Tchaikovsky's Dance of the Reed Flutes, which, if you hear that name and you think, I don't know what that is, you definitely know what it is. It's from the Nutcracker. Yeah. It's in Fantasia. A lot of changes we get to talk about. And then her voice comes in like super auto-tuned. And it's just this, it's completely like it barely makes any sense. It's like, why is this happening? And then the video for this stars Mickey Blanco as Joan of Arc. And it's very like a lot of religious imagery, which, you know, of course, she's been doing her whole career. But this song sums up why I love this album. It's just like she is totally unfettered. Like, she's just like going for it. She's like taking all these risks. She's not like capitulating to modern trends. She's made so this album is with French producer Mirway, yeah, which she did the music album and American Life. And this is definitely, I would say, her most risk-taking album since American Life. American Life had a bunch of oddball flourishes as well. Not always successful, but certainly always interesting. And I think this is, I would say I like this more than American Life. I think this is the experiments are more successful. There's really only one song, second to last song on the album, I think is just a little repetitive and slow. But everything else, like, she takes these bonkers risks. And I'm not saying it's like a complete home run, but it's utterly fascinating and like the kind of thing I definitely want to listen to many times moving forward.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like she's taking any of these influences like inauthentically. It's like she's actually using them in a way that feels original but also authentic, and she's taking the time to do that.
Yeah, I mean, there's just not that many pop artists like who make weird music, you know, who like, take really bizarre experimental arty diversions.
I need more weird.
And I think that's perfect.
Yeah. You know, the thing about this album to me is that I feel like the rollout was a little bit deceptive in the sense that when she released these songs, she released the song with Maluma, she released the song with Sway Lee. You know, I was thinking that, oh, she's still aiming at pop radio, she's doing all these things that still get like big hit singles. Which is, you know, it's just hard for like a veteran pop artist because pop radio right now is so young. But also like, but then listening to this album, like it really isn't aimed at pop radio. Like maybe some of the singles are, but like listening to this album, you're totally right. It's a bonkers album. Like it's totally out there. And it, like I said, it was almost like a red herring for some of these songs to come out and be like, oh, this album is going to be kind of like top 40 fodder that isn't going to make top 40. Whereas, you know, some of these songs just are completely out there. And in a way, I appreciate it. Like, I kind of wish that some of these wackier songs were released earlier, just because I would have been like, what the, like God Control.
God Control, singing that. We'll get to that one in a second.
Okay, okay.
I mean, but yeah, she even said there's a song called Bitch, I'm Loca. That's the second, last album, Bitch, I'm Madonna. Bitch, now I'm she's Loca. She sings in Spanish on this album, she sings in Portuguese on this album, but not in the sense that, like, it doesn't sound like she's trying to be like, oh, this will get on like
exactly
Latin radio. Like
the new Despacito,
right? Yeah. Just like her exploring her like influences.
Yeah, it's cool.
And can I just say, with Dark Ballet, like, I never thought I would hear Madonna sing the word Supreme Hoodie,
right? That line too.
Like that line, I was like,
what is it?
Oh,
something
wow,
like,
it's something about like you and your Supreme hoodie, like pay attention, something to that effect, not those words.
Yeah.
But like, never really thought that I'd hear that.
Yeah, and the way she pronounces
it's at the
it,
very
she,
end.
She says like your Supreme hoodie, like just incredible. Wait, let's see where. Oh, can't you hear outside of your Supreme hoodie the wind that's beginning to howl? That's pretty awesome.
It's very poetic.
Pretty good. Anyways, let's listen to some of this one. So it is Dark Ballet, Madonna from the Madame X album. It's a beautiful plan, but I'm not concerned. Oh yeah. It's a beautiful game. All right, that was Dark Ballet, Madonna. Because I'm Madonna obsessed, we're doing another Madonna song.
Oh,
those are my two picks. So the next one on the album, and I would say easily the craziest one on the album, is called God Control. It opens with, you know, maybe something not that surprising. You know, Madonna despises Trump. You know, it opens with basically her being like, you know, everyone knows the truth. You know, the government's lying. We've lost our sense of respect in the world. And it starts out, you know, sort of like Dark Ballet, like pretty like muted. Then it takes another turn. We get a choir in. I forget the name of the choir. I looked it up and immediately forgot it. But we have some choral music. And then again, much like Dark Ballet, then it just goes totally nuts. Like it goes like disco territory. Yep. Like, and the album for the most part is not disco influenced, even though that's obviously a big influence in her past. But there's just these like really beautiful, like swirling disco strings, a really like danceable beat. And then she does, you know, like it's not quite a rap, but really a bizarre spoken word section where she's talking about, that basically it's like she says earlier in the song she's like kind of empathizing with people, and she's like, even though she is a gun control person, she's like, I see why people buy guns, I see why people lose hope. And then when she gets to the spoken word section, she starts saying, people think I'm insane, the only gun is in my brain, each new birth it gives me hope, that's why I don't smoke that dope.
Yeah.
Which, like, and I know a lot of people are going to hear that and be like, oh, this is like that dumb American Life rap, which, of course, I love doing at karaoke. But I think it's like kind of like, it's that like saucy, like Madonna, like, it's just like ridiculous. It's like her taking the leap from being like, my weapon is my brain, to like, and that's why I don't smoke dope. Like,
yeah.
And also doing it in kind of like backwards Yoda speak. It's just like
the way she pronounces those words is amazing. Like,
dope, just, I don't smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, basically, yeah. What do you think about this one, Tati?
Well, like you kind of said earlier, I just love how so many songs on this album are just, they transform multiple times over the course. And I think this one's like, what, like 5 minutes long or something
like
that?
6 minutes.
So many are like that. And it's just like an odyssey. And I love that. I love that she kind of like takes you on this ride. Medellin was very similar, but also in a way that I kind of like didn't notice the time pass. And I was like, oh my God, this song was 6 minutes long. And this one's kind of similar. So yeah, I really liked it too. It's wacky and I'm here for it.
I agree with that sentiment. Wacky, I'm here for it. Let me ask you a question, Joseph, as a huge Madonna fan.
Yes.
And I'm sure you're going to say, like, I like the way she did it, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What would your interaction with this album be if it had been like a surprise album and all dropped at once?
I think I know what you're getting at, and I think it might have served it better. I would agree.
Wow. Okay.
I think you're getting it. It was a weird, misleading rollout. I mean, I will say I think Medellin was fantastic and a really good opening salvo. But yeah, I would agree that like maybe hearing this full piece of work at once speaks better to it than hearing it piecemeal. Because you're right, like the stuff we heard was all the stuff with collaborators, and it didn't really give a sense of like what this is.
Yeah.
And I do hope that people who maybe, you know, only heard a little bit of like Crave or whatever and were like, this is fine, like you hear the whole thing, like it's pretty remarkable.
It makes
like,
more sense.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that I haven't really figured out why more artists, especially like A-listers, don't do is what Beyoncé did with Lemonade. It, not only the surprise album, but like a visual like story. Like, say Madonna like just was like, I'm dropping my album on, I'm dropping a new album on Saturday night. It has like an HBO special. It's going to be like a 45-minute thing, which she basically did like a mini movie with the Medellin video. Just like, I think there would have been more excitement and more anticipation, and I just think that it would have gotten this project a little bit more. I don't know why other artists don't really have like a drop like that.
Yeah.
Especially with like like video streaming so prevalent now, like just to partner with Netflix. I don't know. Anyway, that's a it's kind of a galactic brain thing.
Yeah, I mean, but I guess maybe it's, you know, people don't want to see like they're copying her, or maybe it's just because it's like a very difficult thing to pull off.
Yeah,
at the end of the day.
And I will say that I've enjoyed parts of this rollout, especially the performance at the Billboard Music Awards, like with all like the womp womp, all the, you know, I want to say auto reality. That's not
augmented.
Augmented
reality.
Sorry. Wow. Man. Talking about galactic brain. I thought that was awesome, but at the same time, it does feel like this album's been coming out for like months now, yeah. And I think it would have just been a little bit more impactful if she had just dropped it all at once. But you know, well, I like that it exists now.
And like all the characters that she kind of teased that she was going to play in this album, like that could have gone really well with like a more visual rollout. I feel like that element of it kind of got lost a little bit. Like what is she? She was like a nun and a teacher.
Madame X is a nun. Madame X is a cha-cha instructor.
It's true.
That is the one thing I will say that I think was super successful about this is following her on Instagram. Her lead up to this.
I got
to
follow her on Instagram.
So good. Like just like the photos and her little like, what do you call it? When... I can't think of the... Nah, whatever. It doesn't matter. When it's like a video, it just repeats the same thing over and over. Not a GIF,
vine.
But not a Vine.
A Vine.
There's an
a
app
vine,
that does
wow.
it. What is it called?
TikTok?
A meme.
Now I feel old. Anyways, whatever. That sputtered out. Let's just listen to it. God Control, new Madonna song.
Let's do it.
Gives me birth each new. That dope I don't smoke, it's true. Everybody knows the damn
truth. All right, that was new Madonna. I, as our producer just said, it's a boomerang. I couldn't think of the word for it.
Boomerang.
Thank you. I feel dumb. All right, let's do, let's do a Tati pick.
Let's do
Free Nationals, Mac Miller, and Kali Uchis, Time.
Time. Okay, so this is off the new Free Nationals album, which is, of course, Anderson .Paak's band, and it's the first posthumous release with Mac Miller on it, and it's really tough to listen to for that reason. It kind of, like, when I first listened to it and heard his verse come in, I, like, had to turn it off for a second, was like, wow, this is difficult. But once you get over that, it's a really beautiful song. And it's sort of about like being in a relationship and feeling like you've been together for so long that you're either just doing it because it's been too long, or feeling like, oh, if I just wait a little bit longer, maybe things will get better. So there's this whole theme of like time and patience and the passage of time. Obviously, this is the name of the song, but I mean, like, it's almost it almost makes it more heartbreaking for some reason that it's talking about time and patience, we're almost coming up on a year since Mac's death. So it's poignant in a lot of different ways. And aside from all that, I mean, it's just a really beautiful, jazzy summer song. And of course, Kali Uchis's vocals are like beautiful always.
I love her. That was one of my favorite albums of last year.
Yeah. So I loved it. It took me a sec to be able to kind of listen to it for what it is. But what did you guys think?
I really liked it too. It's very smooth and you know, you have this kind of sadness that lingers over it, but it also is a really powerful song and just very like easily digestible as just kind of like an R&B track.
It's like a good summer song too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It has a good like laid back vibe.
Definitely.
You know, even if it is like a little sad both lyrically and because of his death, it still is like, I don't know, like it, like listening to it, like made me feel good. It's like,
yes,
it's like
exactly.
A feel good song in a way.
Yeah. There was a verse that I wanted to mention.
Do it.
Yeah.
Because
I never do this, and I pulled it up. Okay. So there's this part in Mac's verse where he says, "Well, I don't trip, but I slip. I fall. Sleep all day. Maybe miss your calls. Like I've been missing you." And that part of his verse just like reminded me of so many of his. It felt almost like a pass back to like lyrics from before. Like he has a song called Missed Calls. The Sleep All Day lyric feels very like Blue Slide Park. Like it almost just felt like going back to like pointing back to different songs that he's done in the past. And I really liked that part.
Yeah. And I think it's worth mentioning too that this is not only is the verse sanctioned by his family, but like it was recorded specifically like for this song.
Before,
it's not one of those things where like the family's like, oh, we've got him rapping. Like, do you want to put a song with it?
Yeah.
Like, he, like, got together and, like, this was, like, an intentional, like, piece of art before his death.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Cool. Let's listen to it. So it's Time Free Nationals with Mac Miller and Kali Uchis.
Time to grow. I get out of control when I'm alone. If you can make it with me, you can make it on your own. So quit the bullshit and playing on my phone. We just need some time. Keep watching, let it all unwind.
All right, that was Free Nash, as I like to call him.
And you and only you.
Jason, let's do your pick of Monsta X and French Montana.
Monsta
who
X.
Who do you love?
And French Montana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I picked this song. I think this song's really interesting. So Monsta X is a K-pop group. Obviously, there's been an influx of K-pop groups, especially K-pop boy bands that are taking off and having their songs, you know, gain on streaming and whatnot. Monsta X has not had a Hot 100 hit yet, but I feel like this is kind of it. The interesting thing about this song to me is that it's all English language.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure there are other prominent K-pop singles that, but it doesn't feel like that's happened recently, that it's all English.
Mm-hmm.
B, you got French Montana being goofy on this, doing a lot of like wacky basketball similes. He shouts out Knicks great Marcus Camby, which I appreciate.
Totally over my head.
But also the fact is, like, this song sounds like it could have come from a boy band in like 1998.
Totally.
It sounds like the group that it reminds me of the most is Soul Decision. I don't know if you guys remember Faded. Great song. This could have been like, you know, an NSYNC B-side around girlfriend era.
Yeah.
Boyfriend era? Wait.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Girlfriend era. Yeah. Boyfriend's the Justin Bieber
yes,
song.
Yes.
Sorry. Wow. My brain is like not operating at full speed today. Monsta X and French Montana broke my brain. The song's very good. It's just a fun boy band, like pop song. And I don't know. I think that like it's fascinating to me to see a lot of these, especially these K-pop groups, have kind of hinted at a more streamlined, like late 90s style,
mm-hmm.
especially with the choreography, with the construction of the hooks. But like this is really, really leans into it. I think French Montana's verse is pretty clean too. And yeah, I'm just kind of interested in this and like see if it'll take off, because I think it like could really give people some throwback vibes. I wonder if like this, if you know, an American boy band or a British boy band recorded something like this, if it would take off. But I think because it's coming from the K-pop world, but you know, harkening back to that era, it really could take off. So I don't know. I'm just curious about it.
You said it all, honestly.
Wow.
And I was going to make the same comment about it. It's being in all English, which we usually, when these K-pop bands pair up with rappers and with pop stars, it's like kind of a, there's some in English, there's some in Korean. And this is the first one in a while, I think, that's been all English. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think, Joe?
I think that's an interesting point. Like if it had been an American or a British group, like, I don't think it would make mm-hmm. that much headway, because it. This is not exactly what's on the radio now, but I think there is that added level of interest because it's a K-pop group, and like people are like just looking at that realm with a microscope these days. I like it. I think it's, yeah, it's totally like classic 90s boy band. Shout out to French. A lot of times, well, I feel like a lot of times when you get a rapper with a K-pop group, it sounds very like Frankenstein together.
Yep.
And his verse sounds very comfortable here. It sounds like it totally belongs. It like makes the song better. Yeah, I think that's one of those things that if I like heard on radio, I would enjoy it. I would probably not seek it out myself.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't think it's certainly not like a groundbreaking song at all. To me, it's, like I said, it's more interesting than anything that like this is now coming back in vogue.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, also the song name, like "Who Do You Love," like classic just song title. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know?
With the U.
With the U.
The letter U.
The letter U. This today's podcast brought to you by the letter U.
Yeah. By the way, can the title of this podcast episode be "From Madam X to Monsta X"?
Ooh, Whoa. That's good. Nice that is work, good. Jason.
You know, that's why I'm here.
Yeah. I thought you were a little half baked today, but you come out with that.
Boy.
Made a comeback.
Firing on all cylinders. All right, let's listen to it. Monsta X featuring French Montana, "Who Do You Love?"
J80s, baby, down middle like Katie and one. That's my other lady. Them boys is next. Montana, Monsta X.
Hey. Is it him or me? Cause I can't take the pressure anymore.
All right, we're gonna pivot to Tati Shura, if that's how.
Shura.
I was gonna ask you guys the same question. It's my pick. Is it Shura? Shura?
Yeah, Shura.
Shura.
Shura. Shura.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, so Shura's back. However you want to pronounce her name, which we are all very grateful for. We haven't really heard from her since 2016, which is pretty crazy. But she just today announced her new album. It's called Forever Her, not to be mistaken with the word forever. There Great is a title. Her in it. Great title. And it's supposed to be about her long-term relationship, or not long-term, well, I guess also long-term, but long-distance relationship with her girlfriend between Brooklyn and London, which I think is just an interesting concept for an album. Like, all the songs are supposedly about a long-distance relationship, which could go a number of different ways. It could be sad. It could also be very sexy, as she does with this song. And it kind of, it's called Religion. I forget if you've already said that. But it's, it's called Religion.
You Can Lay Your Hands on Me.
You Can Lay Your Hands
Just
on Me.
Just an incredible title, too.
And
great
also
title.
You, another you.
Another you. You. Yeah. The letter. Everything's in lowercase as well. And it's just kind of subverting religious imagery in a way that I think a lot of queer artists have done before. But she kind of has this fresh take on it. It's very disco-leaning. Fun to dance to. It has a great video that's inspired by Jude Law's current HBO show, where I think he plays like a priest. Yeah, we should
I
all
have no idea.
Yeah, you haven't seen the video?
I'm not.
Oh,
seen the
great video.
It's great. We should all think about Jude Law more often.
Yeah.
And
I'll take your word for that.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Are you not a Jude Law fan?
I'm not a huge. I mean, I'm not against. I'm not a huge Jude Law fan, though. No, I mean, okay. I think also, and I realize this was 2 decades ago, but the memory of sitting through the theater watching AI, one of the most unpleasant.
I love that movie.
The movie is trash.
I love
it's
that movie so much.
Bad.
It's my favorite Steven Spielberg movie.
That's an awful choice.
Yeah,
Steven Spielberg's best movie is Duel, the made-for-TV movie he did in the 70s.
It's a crazy
where a
thing
semi
to say as well.
Is chasing down this woman and she has no idea why.
No, you're complete. We'll talk about this offline. You're completely wrong, though. AI is an incredible movie.
I know it's a polarizing movie.
It's unbelievable.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
It's so lame. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Tati,
anyways.
Have you seen AI?
I don't think I have.
Oh.
It was like.
Have you seen AI? Yeah. It's incredible,
I don't
right?
I think I've seen it. Wait, when did it come out?
I think 2000, maybe.
99 or 2000.
It.
Yeah.
It was like Kubrick like left him this idea for a movie, basically.
Wait, is this one where they have this kid?
Haley Joel Osment is in it as a little
robot
boy.
Kid. Okay, yes. I started watching it and couldn't get through it.
Yeah, exactly.
Tati. I'll ride for AI.
I'm more of the holiday Jude Law fan over here.
Totally.
I mean, sure. I'll ride for AI all day. But anyway, that's another
Quite
topic
a diversion.
For another.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just getting off track here.
Anyways, well, yeah. So Shura. No, I like this. I mean, this is like totally up my alley. You know, it's, again, we got some disco strings on a song.
We do.
I like the synths have sort of like a muted, like blown out quality to them.
Yeah.
Her voice is cool. You know, it goes between like cooing and falsetto. It just really, like you said, it's very sexy. It's very beautiful. It's very fun. And there's like a 20-minute thing out, but it said Spotify said it was a single. I was like, that's...
Yeah, there's two versions of it.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, I believe 20 so. Minutes yeah, seems yeah, very long right. for a single.
There are two.
But anyways.
It's like a prog single.
Yeah, exactly. Jason, what do you think?
Oh,
not about AI, but about this song.
I love both. Either. I love both things. No, sure is a 2016 album was one of my favorites of that year.
It was so good.
What's It Gonna Be is just an incredible pop single. I really like the song that she put out before this, mm-hmm. Brooklyn London, or BK. L and
Brooklyn,
yeah,
Brooklyn.
It's Brooklyn, London without the vowels. But this is great too. Like I love the video, I love the imagery. Like Tati was saying, and I can't wait to hear this album.
Mm-hmm.
Forever Her is like I said, Forever. Just a perfect album title.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go.
Yeah,
let's go.
Forever. I mean, and I guess I'll say like. To me, there's no chance of someone of Shura like blowing up in the U.S. Like she just doesn't have anything that sounds like contemporary like mm-hmm. pop music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like, who cares? Like she's a great pop artist. So let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's listen to it. So it's Shura. Song is Religion. You Can Lay Your Hands on Me. All right, next and last, another Jason pick.
Yeah.
Bastille.
You didn't see this one coming,
did
you?
I did not see this
coming. I didn't see this one coming either.
So another place from the new Bastille album.
Yeah, so I just want to talk for a couple minutes. Not about AI. I want to talk about how Bastille is like a pretty good band. Like, I think that like... And I know you're going to, yeah, whatever. You're going to roll your eyes.
I
but
mean,
like,
if you're saying pretty good, like, I can't really come
like,
out hard
I really
that.
Liked Pompeii when, you know, their big single Pompeii sure. hit, became
slaps.
A top 10 hit. since then, they, you know, they've played arenas here. They've never, like, and then obviously they had Happier mm-hmm. with Marshmello. They have a new album out today. And it's very good. Like I really enjoy this band. Is like they're you know like I guess you would describe them as an alternative rock band, but they make a lot of really strong pop music. The album is called Doom Days, and I picked what song did I pick? Another Place.
You picked Another Place.
Yeah, just yeah. really like a really strong pop song. I think that there are a bunch of songs on this album. Joy was a recent single. Quarter Past Midnight has been out for a while. That got a lot of alternative radio play. But I just think that like Dan Smith's voice really like propels this song and this album forward. I think that and I wrote a little bit about it this morning. That
first listen.
No.
Oh, it wasn't?
First stream.
First stream. Oh, whatever.
Damn it, Joe.
Yeah.
First stream. I wrote
Sorry,
about
that's,
a little...
Sorry, that's an article that Jason writes yeah. that rounds up new music.
That's very
for
true.
For anyone who's wondering why we're
and
just shouting
yell
out
first stream.
Yeah.
But basically, what I wrote about is like, obviously, Happier is not even on this new album, but it does seem like they've leaned into a little bit more of a danceable quality with their music. And this song's a good example of that. And there's some balladry on the album as well. I believe a song called Divide is a ballad, and that's very I like that a lot when I listen to it. I gotta explore this album a little bit more. I've only listened to it, I guess, like a time and a half. I've heard this song a couple times in Another Place, but yeah, I just think like they're kind of workmanlike when it comes to their place in. All, like music and popular music and alternative music. I don't think like there's that much interesting going on with them in terms of like Bastille's narrative, but I just kind of wanted to shout them out because they make some really good pop music and nobody ever really considers them as far as I'm concerned. So shout out to Bastille.
Shout out.
Done and done.
Wow. Pen
he
drop.
Just did a pen drop. Yeah. For
yeah,
anybody listening.
That was emphatic. I think you're right in that, yeah, it's like they're a rock band. They're doing what, you know, like an Imagine Dragons type band has to do these days to get on radio, which True. Is kind of, it's not electronic music per se, but sort of these like kind of pop electronic flourishes and production techniques. So it just kind of sounds of a piece with other things on the radio. The chorus is fine. I mean, it's a little middle of the road for me. You know, I'm not super moved by it, but it's like...
Oh, Joe.
But yeah, I'm also not a hater, you know. Oh, so okay. I think that's as good as you're gonna get from me.
But, I feel similarly. But what's the lead singer's name? I'm blanking
Dan
on
Smith.
It. Dan Smith. Right. He can sing anything, and I would like it would sound beautiful.
He's
so
very
that's
good.
My
that's
only
true.
Thing to contribute here is his voice is wow, just chef's kiss.
Cool.
All right. Cool. Doom Days.
Doom Days.
Doom Days.
Doom Days.
I want to see
Doomsday.
I want to see this album live. I would like to go to a Bastille show. You know what? I have seen them live on their first album, but not since then. I'd like to see it.
You should go. Report back for the podcast.
Very quick side note as well, and I said this to Joe and
yes.
our colleague Andrew Unterberger.
I know what you're going to say.
A couple months ago, Tati, on the Must Hear Music Pod, we were talking about Pink's song Walk Me Home. And I was like, and I liked it more than they did. And I was like, I want to hear this song live. And they were like, you won't want to hear this song live. And I did see it live a couple
oh,
weeks
wow.
ago, and it was awesome. It's a really good song.
Yeah, I will say I heard it it came on in an Uber or Lyft rather. Important distinction.
Yeah, apparently.
And I was like, yeah, this is a really good song. Like
yeah.
it totally like
walk
it ended up
home.
Winning me over. Yeah.
You didn't even
I
have
like
to
it.
Walk home to do it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Nice.
Drive me home.
Yeah. Lift me home.
Anyway.
But yeah.
Let's listen to Bastille.
Right, let's listen to it. So Bastille, Another Place.
In another place. So lie to me tonight. And pretend till the morning light. And imagine that you are mine. Cause when the sun will rise, with the truth coming out your eyes, we'll be good in another life. I could write a book about the things that you said to me on the pillow and the way you think and how you make me.
Well, that's all we got for this podcast, for this Madam X podcast.
Plant Talk.
Brought to you by the letter U.
AI.
Plant Talk, AI.
Lyfts versus Ubers. We covered it all today.
We covered it all. All right. Well, we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. If you have some summer recs, tweet them at us.
Ooh, summer recs.
All right. Have a good one.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.